Hello, this is John Politon. I want to welcome you to Reformed Living. The passionate pursuit of holiness, obedience to the Word of God in every area, is the essence of the Christian life. It is my sincere prayer that the time we spend together today in God's Word will enable all of us to walk in greater holiness and thus to live our lives more to the glory of God.
I'm Celeste Montague. Thank you for joining us today. We are studying the book of Romans together, a letter written by the Apostle Paul to the believers at the church in Rome, and one of Paul's masterpieces. We are in Romans chapter 3, bringing you more of a message today titled, All Men Are Guilty. And indeed, we all are guilty before God, whether we're Jews, Greeks, or anything else. None of us meets the standard of a holy God. What can we do? How can we be saved from the wrath to come that we all deserve? Let's listen. Here's John Politon.
There's none righteous, no, not one. We all fall short, if you go along with the analogy, of the goal. He said, well, what in the world is the goal? Well, we'll get there next time, but it's in Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and fall short of the what? The other side of the canyon? No, they fall short of the glory of God. None of us are God. None of us can live out the righteousness of God, and that is the standard. So, he says, everybody's bad, that's it. Count one, all right? But he's not done. Count two. Let's go on. Verse 11. There is none who understands. Stop right there. None who understands. What's he talking about? He's talking about they don't even know which way to jump. If they could jump, they are ignorant of God's righteousness. They don't know, you know, in talking about man and his guilt. I was telling Terry, I was reminded about the guy who writes, many of you have heard it, writes the check for $500 and mails it into the IRS. And he sends in a letter and he says, I want you to know something. I'm sending you this check because I just can't sleep at night because I have not been truthful on my taxes. And so I wanted to send you this $500. And then he puts a P.S. and says, if I can sleep now, great. But if I can't sleep, I'll send you the rest of what I owe you. And that's sort of the way men approach righteousness. We feel like we can piecemeal it. No, you're either in or you're out. And here he's saying, to quoting Psalm 14:2, there's none who even understands how to do it right. Leave a finger there, but turn over to the book of Ephesians chapter 4. Go to the book of Ephesians chapter 4. I will not race through this because I want you to really see it. Ephesians 4, and look at verse 18. This is a part of what that Scottish minister took out of his pocket. They thought it was a camera. He showed them Romans 3, 10 through 18, and then he turned to Ephesians 4, 18 and showed them the rest of their portrait. Describing unbelievers, what's he say in verse 18? Being darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance, there it is, ignorance that is in them because of the hardness of their heart. Even if man had the ability to achieve God's righteousness, he wouldn't because he doesn't know how to go about attaining it. He would go to the south rim of the canyon. Instead of jumping north, he'd jump left or backwards or whatever. He doesn't even know the right direction to go. He's bad, but he's also hopelessly ignorant, the Word of God says. When it comes to divine truth, man have a natural inability to grasp truth. Their heart is darkened. By the way, their heart isn't darkened because God first darkened it. Their heart is darkened because of sin. Look, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their heart. The King James says the blindness, if you will, of their heart. What he's saying is you can look at it two ways. Historically, or you can look at it individually. Historically, originally, man was given the knowledge of God. Adam and Eve, Garden of Eden, are walking and talking with God. They reject it. They go their own way. Individually, I think people come into this world with a knowledge of God. This is John chapter 1. A knowledge of God in their heart. This is conscience. This is creation. There's that flicker of awareness. But man immediately runs to his sin and he clicks that light out and becomes blinded. And when he says there, hardness of their heart, the word porosis, you've heard of osteoporosis. It means a loss of bone. This is a hardening of their heart. It's a loss of sensibility. It's a loss of understanding, and it's becoming as hard as bone, if you will. Hard as a rock, which means you can't pour anything into it. They cannot accept knowledge from God at all. They have a total inability. This is the non-believer sitting next to you or sitting around you wherever you may be 24/7 in the world. They have absolutely no capacity whatsoever to understand truth. You say, how so? Well, that's 1 Corinthians 2:14. The natural man receives not, can't pour into him. He can't accept, he can't get it. The natural man receives not, accepts not the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness to him. What we're talking about this morning is stupid to the natural man out there. I thought it was stupid before I came to know Christ. And it goes on and says, he cannot understand them because they are spiritually appraised. The King James says spiritually discerned. And again, I thought of Dad. My father-in-law, I can see him sitting in a house on Broadway Street in the north side of Indianapolis, teaching a Bible study to about 45 single adults at the time. It grew to be much greater, and I can still hear him looking right at me and saying, John, you know what? You can go outside and you can look at the sky. You can see the stars. You can look at them. You can learn a lot about looking at them. But if you really want to know stars, you go get a telescope. And all of a sudden, that little dot up there is a ball with rings around it and all sorts of stuff going on. Why? He says, because stars are telescopically discerned. You know, you can look at your skin. You can feel it. You can watch the hair grow. You can see the veins pop out. You can learn a lot by looking at your skin. You really, really want to see what those molecules and atoms of your skin are like. You put them under a microscope and a world opens up. Why? Because atoms, molecules, they're microscopically discerned. And then he looked right at me and he said, but the things of this book, the things of the truth of God, you can't understand at all unless you are possessed by the person of Christ and the Spirit of God, because these things are spiritually discerned. Spiritually appraised. Men literally are darkened in their understanding and they run from the truth and they don't even have the intelligence to try to understand it because it's spiritually appraised and they can't. I was thinking of some friends who worship here who are from Canada. Several of you are. And I don't know how many of you remember this. It happened before I came to know Christ, but it was about Ringo the Duck. Has anybody heard of Ringo the Duck? Now, Ringo Starr, the former Beatle, did a cartoon thing where he was the voice of a duck, and they called him Ringo the Duck. And I think that's why in the 70s they called this female duck Ringo the Duck. But in Grenadier Park in Toronto, Canada, which apparently was a popular park for people to go to, people had been taking pop cans and beer cans, whatever, and popping the pop tops off and throwing them in the lake. And a duck came along and stuck her beak and pecked and got the ring of the pop top caught, you've heard this, over her beak. If somebody's heard the story and knows what I'm talking about, the account, it's a true account. It was written up for days in the Toronto paper. This duck, the park workers and people got concerned because they could see it couldn't open its mouth. It couldn't eat. It was going to starve to death if they didn't do it. And they nicknamed it Ringo the Duck. And it took on somewhat of a celebrity status. Everybody trying to help this duck. And I mean, they got to some great, they put out corn and things like that to try to get a trot. And you know, they got every duck and every seagull in the world couldn't get this duck to come. They went and got literally a cannon that shot a gigantic net out to try to cover the lake and get this duck. They couldn't get this duck. They sent skin divers. Apparently the duck recognized a diver not being another duck and fled. And ultimately they called in, true story, they called in Canada's number one duck caller. He called in every duck known to man, but Ringo. Ringo wouldn't come. What's going on? They wanted to help Ringo. Ringo kept fleeing. Isn't that exactly what happens when the gospel of Jesus Christ is presented? That's exactly what happened initially to me for years. I thought they were trying to take away my happiness. I thought they were trying to change my lifestyle. I thought all of these other things. Well, you guys and the fraternity brothers who are, you're on the God Squad, Campus Crusade for Christ. I blew it off for years. You know, that's not me. I don't want any part of that. Well, that's Ringo the Duck. They wanted to do what was going to save my soul. And I ran from them with a spiritual pop-top can on my heart, closed to the gospel of Christ.
That's a pretty unusual picture that John has painted for us in our minds of a duck who can't eat because his beak is trapped in a pop-top can. You know, the creation all around us is just full of spiritual analogies. Stay tuned. John will continue in a moment. You're listening to Reformed Living with John Politon as we continue a study in the book of Romans and bring you a message today titled, All Men Are Guilty. Please visit reformedlivingministries.org, where you can learn more about John's church. You can download free MP3 copies of John's sermons by clicking the Sermon tab. And you can also order CD copies of John's teaching, too, by clicking the Contact tab and then sending us your CD request by email. That's reformedlivingministries.org. And now, let's get back to John as he continues to explain why the human race is in big trouble with God.
And the key point is this. Men are sinful, not because, against God, not because they're ignorant. Men are ignorant because they're sinful. We are ignorant of the truth of God because we're sinful. And God is trying to free us like Ringo the duck. Men have an awful lot of information in their head. What's the Word of God say? Constantly, constantly learning, but never coming to a knowledge of the truth. I think of MacArthur's line about his friend, the late Larry King, on CNN Live. Says he was a fatalistic seeker, always asking questions, always gathering information, but never believing you could ever come to absolute truth. And again, I'll commend you to the words of A.W. Tozer. He's talking about, well, Dr. Tozer, you want to have an open mind, don't you? And some heresy was being bandied about. He was encouraged to have an open mind. Tozer came back and said this. He said, young man, the point of an open mind is the same thing as having an open mouth when you're eating. It's to close it again on something solid. He says, you need to close your mind on the truths of God's Word. You need to chew and meditate on the truths of God's Word. The natural man cannot, will not do that because he's a sinner. By the way, that leads to the third point of the indictment. What's the third point of the indictment? Look at Romans chapter 3. There's none righteous, not even one. That means they're all sinners. There's none who understands. That's count 2. We're ignorant. We're spiritually ignorant. We're dull. We're never going to get it. because we're not possessed with the Spirit of God, for starters. There's none who seeks for God. Oh, I wish all in the evangelical church growth movement would underscore that verse. There's none who seeks for God. There are no seekers after God. Wait a minute. Stop right there. That sounds a little contradictory. What about all the world religions? We've already gone through that. In Romans 1 and 2, what did we say? Religion is not man striving to get to God. It's man's lowest form. It's man running away from God. He knows there's a God. He knows the true God. Creation and conscience has revealed it to him. He rejects it. And yet, he knows he's a sinner. He knows he needs to worship. And yet, he rejects the true God. And so, he makes up gods of his own. And he runs into every sort of pagan and other false religion, cult, and belief system you can imagine. That's not man seeking for God. That's man running from God. Well, wait a minute. I remember a passage in the Word of God, Jeremiah 29:13. He who seeks me shall find me, if he seeks for me with all his heart. Isn't that talking about man seeking God? Isn't that God encouraging man to seek him? What did Jesus say? Knock and it shall be opened to you. And wait a minute. Seek and you shall find. Didn't he say that in Matthew 7:7-8? I'll tell you, he did. How about Hebrews 11:6? God is a rewarder of them who diligently seek him. Sounds to me like the Bible's totally contradictory, or at least you got it wrong, John. But right here, there's none who seeks for God. And you just gave me three quotes that talks about man seeking God. Is the Bible contradictory? Let me answer it for you. No. No, 1,000 times no. There's no contradiction whatsoever. I commend to your reading John chapter 6, and specifically John 6 verse 37. What did Jesus say? All whom my Father gives me will come to me. And what's he say in John 6, 7 verses later, John 6, 44? What? No man can come to me unless my Father draw him. What's the point? What then? The point is this. Men do not naturally seek after God. There's none who seek after God, Romans 3. Those whom God has appointed to eternal life, those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world, those whom God has set his chesed, his covenant love upon, those whom the Father has given before time, space, dimension, history as a love gift to the Son, those the Father will inexorably draw to a saving knowledge of Christ. And what does that mean? That means the means that God has ordained to bring that about need to be followed so that those whom God has ordained to eternal life will indeed, quote, come to Christ. What are those means? The Word of God, prayer, preaching the gospel. Faith comes by hearing, Romans 10:17, and hearing the word about the Christ. So, what are you saying? I'm saying any effort to take the gospel and water it down and somehow make it a little bit more appeasing or palatable to non-believers and sort of slip it in the back door and make them a little more comfortable is totally working against God's divine plan for saving souls. I'll go one step further. It's worse than that. I think it borders on heresy. I'm back to the words of R.C. Sproul. To the extent we accommodate our worship services to meet the felt needs of non-believers, we add fire to the fuel of idolatry. Paul says there's none righteous, there's nobody who understands, none of them seek for God, and he's going to go on with his indictment, and he's going to explain again why you have to have this as the setting before you then turn and explain the glorious gospel of Christ. I'll end with this. It's a poem by J.A. Alexander. He picks up on Romans 1, God gave them over, God gave them over, God gave them over. And he puts it in the spiritual vernacular. I thought this poem would speak to the hearts of those who maybe are just starting to realize, as a lady who I've shared with Terry on many occasions, a woman who 40, 50 years at least has professed Christ. I don't believe that she knows Christ. She's never acknowledged that she was a sinner, never acknowledged that she was in need of a Savior, and so forth. And there may be one or more here, I don't know. But this poem was written by J. Alexander, and he said this: "There is a time, we know not when, a point, we know not where, that marks the destiny of men to glory or despair. There is a line by us unseen that crosses every path, the hidden boundary between God's patience and His wrath. To pass that limit is to die, as if by stealth. It does not quench the beaming eye, nor pale the glow of health. The conscience may still be at ease, the spirit light and gay. That which is pleasing may still please, and cares be thrust away. Oh, where is this mysterious bourne by which our path is crossed, beyond which God Himself has sworn that he who goes is lost? How far may we go on in sin? How long will God forbear? Where does hope end? And where begins the confines of despair? An answer from the skies is sent. Ye that from God depart, while it is called today, repent and harden not your heart." Did you come to Christ aware that you were a sinner in need of salvation? Did you come to Christ knowing that you were so vile, morally speaking, that you were on your way to a real place called hell? Or was it just the thing to do? That it sort of seemed to make sense. Everybody was doing it. I raised my hand. I came forward. I signed a card. I joined the church. Everybody in Sunday school. I don't know. But greater minds than mine will tell you that 80% or more of the people sitting in churches today who profess Christ do not even know the gospel at all and do not know Jesus. That is a sobering truth.
My husband asked a Sunday school class once to get out a piece of paper and write down the gospel of Jesus Christ, a pop quiz. To his amazement, only one or two dear people were even close. Everyone else failed this pop quiz. They did not understand the gospel. We must know the reason for our hope, and we must have a personal relationship with our Lord. You're listening to Reformed Living with John Politon, and more of a message today titled, "All Men Are Guilty," as we continue a study in the book of Romans. We hope that John's teaching is ministering to you, and we invite you to consider supporting John's radio ministry with a secure, tax-deductible gift of any amount, and that will help us to keep John's teaching on the air as a witness to this generation. Please visit reformedlivingministries.org. You can also write to John. He loves to receive mail and respond to your letters. You can include a donation made out to Reformed Living with your letter to John. And here's his mailing address: Reformed Living, Post Office Box 386, 4727, East Bell Road, Suite 45, Phoenix, Arizona, 85032. Thank you. I'm Celeste Montague. Please join us next time as we continue our study in the book of Romans. And now here's John to invite you to visit his church and to close our time on the radio today.
This is John Politon, and you've been listening to Reformed Living. Reformed Living Bible Church regularly meets for worship at 10:30 a.m. each Sunday at 6140 East Thunderbird Road in Scottsdale, and visitors are most welcome. If you're interested in learning more about Reformed Living Bible Church, please visit our website at reformedlivingministries.org. Again, that's reformedlivingministries.org. Until next time, whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God.